session number 11203, reel 6.
Mr. M. Scott, reel 6. Were you talking, Mr. Scott, on the black market system in the camp? What ways did it manifest itself? How did it show itself?
Well, I think that it was a mixture of people getting extras from the guards, chatting to them to get them to be more brave, or even got some wine going, and maybe it would also get tobacco. That was a sort of purchase of by the Germans. And I remember one fellow, it was one of the books I read, he said, he was sitting there smoking a pipe of baccy and getting wine in this prison camp. But there was a change of an exchange in that sort of thing. Because when, I think when people are under duress and it's tricky, that softens up and then things ease out. You don't see a bad all the time. You don't appear. So that's a bit of a sort of thing.
You mentioned shortages of food. What other articles or necessities were in short supply?
Well, when I look back, I have to wrap my brains a bit. Food obviously was the main one, but I think blankets were another, because it was down cold. And I
medical supplies, or was there
the medical side? Well, I quite honestly, I cannot remember that. I didn't presume they go to the discount. I can do a full tape on further on, but there must have been a medical room, but I didn't register with me. I think I was, like a lot of other people, consumed by this sudden change of being a free man and being a
Where did you go to when you left
Lansing? We were marshalled into the courtyard, 500 of us, carrying all our own belongings, which whatever they may be, boxes or baskets or something to carry our worldly goods, and we were marched to the station. And we would put on a train which had seats on it, and a very hard sort of type 3, third class, very hard thing. And we set off on a journey to Poland. We didn't know much about it, they didn't tell us very much. And it was really the start of a fantastic period, because we shunted away up past Linz and right up. And then we were up into Poland, and we arrived at Poznan. And when we arrived there, we were deep trained and marshaled into some of the water. And then General Fortune had come with us and insisted that he would lead that party. The wonderful effort it was. I was a young man. And he headed the column. We marched through, we went through the streets of Poland, with the Germans really having a good laugh, and the Poles looking at us as we were the saviour of their country. It was a sort of mixed feeling, you know, some cheered, some were very solemn faced. And it was really a dramatic time, because obviously we should have been winning, but we went. And we marched quite a long way out of the town and arrived at a Napoleonic fort, which was one of a number of forts which were stationed around the main cities in Poland for defence. And it was below ground level, and we were taken to the entrance of this tunnel, We thought we were going to get our heads chopped off or something. You know what? We're going to do this. Very warm place. Down this tunnel. I think we've seen a photograph of this. And we were said taken into this, down this tunnel, to where there were rooms and things at the bottom. And it really was impossible. There were fleas and lice and bedbugs and everything you can think of. And we spent the whole time sort of laying through the enclosures trying to burn the damn things out, you know, lice and things.
Well,
it was very one light bulbs sort of thing, and that sort of thing. Each room had 20 bedbugs. They were locked in at night, and the fort, as it was sortation, was known as, was surrounded by a moat, a big, deep moat, which you couldn't get across. And the rooms had bars on them, so you looked out into the moat, which went right around the camp. And when we first got there, we were met by Major Muller, who was in charge of the camp, in a real swaggering type of way. And he said, "I'll sort you guys out, sort of business." But this often happens in these things, it didn't turn out too bad in the end. But we were kept low ground for the first week, I think, at least. And then they arrived to the period, and we could go from 2 to 4 on the roof. There was some cross top. And as time went on, they covered it down there. And it was really a freezer. And by this time, people began to get very scared minded. And the first thing that happened was one or two of the chaps. You see a big number like that, but you couldn't be in on everything. You had to sort of feel your way and be asked or start by yourself or something. The tunnel was basically impossible. The sermons proved that one was being done. And the Muller laughed his head off. He said, "Well, I know you wouldn't get down." He said the water levels at that point, you know, because he knew.
The
loaf
would have water in it,
did it? No, it didn't actually. Yes, it was below the water level where they tried to tunnel it.
And was this a camp that just held the 500?
Yes. And the next thing that happened was there was a big exercise on getting somebody out of the camp. What happened was each morning they brought in a refuse box to take the general refuse out of the camp. And a few of us got together, and Tony Lopez, the car driver, his name in those days, and quite well known. He was on board. He was a big trip, I think, or a couple, you know. And the only person we could get into the box and sort of the man put the breakfast on top of the chap when he was in the box, and you know, all these carried the box up, took it into the outside breakfast. And this was Peter Douglas, who, when it was written, the light went and it came down. He came out of the refuse again and made his way down to the station at Preston and jumped on the train and went up to Stettin and got out of the train and walked onto a ship. And when the ship was at sea, he declared himself to the captain and told him who he was because they were neutral.
Swedish.
And it was the natural result in Bung. And it was him. I think he got DSO. I'm not certain.
What
preparation
had gone into this?
Quite a lot. A lot of thought. I hate to be treated as a hanger on, because there are always people queuing up to get in on things. But I was a little bit connected with that. I even got down in this carrying box. I was too big, I was sticking up below the top. And also, what's his name? I guess one's.
Johnny.
And anyway, that went around the world because I think that was conducted twice. I think one fellow went out directly at the same time as.
Did they go out in their
khaki? No, they went out in workers' uniform. That was a thing. If you went out in the uniform, you don't find it.
So you've been given a working outfit,
haven't
you?
No, we pretended they were dyed with ink and all the usual sort of bits and pieces, and they were made up for a lot of that work. And in the dusk, you know, up on this train, sure, right, of course. The tramper went out after him, took the train that went inland, and he got caught down in the river or something. So it's a sad story.
So
yeah.
The organisation was such that there was clothing. What else was organized for anyone escaping?
Well, you hit on a main point. Having had the experience earlier of Laufen, the experiences with escapes was not what you might call top level. And although, if you were involved with escape, you and I say, the bloke next door wouldn't know, or nobody else would know, it's completely quiet. These things he's done. So in the end, we had an escape committee. And then you'd find out who was on the escape committee. And you can most probably pick them yourself, I could. Because you get back to the same thing as we were talking about earlier on. The difference between different chaps and we had a very fine thing. But the escape committee was starting to be built about then, about that time. And the news came, two bits of news came in from over there. We saw a lot of stuff going up to the East Front, the German army going up to the East Front. It's tremendous. And German battleship was Tirpitz was knocked out, however, I think that's right there. And then the Bismarck Navy was away, but we got that.
And how was this information coming through to you?
Well, it comes through from the Germans, and I don't
know. Germans actually told them?
Well, the guards, you know, they all talk to you, chat them up, and so, and even the papers and things. Some people in Germany, I know when Stalingrad was on, and Van Bessel was on, when Stalingrad was on, there were 26,000 Germans killed, a prisoner died, and terrible. The German papers came out with a black edging on them. Well, I'm about to be off, but I should be back.
So the escape system was just beginning to take
its beginning, yes. And it's rather funny this because having said that about escape committees and things, the next item was the Germans came along and said, we're going to move you. And they were going to move us miles across Germany right down to Biber, which is another 500 mile trip, so on the train.
How long were you in this second camp?
In Poland. I would say it's a rough 41, that's right. I believe some out of there about July. Just about that. Just about July.
Can I ask you, before we move to the next camp, how did you cope with hygiene and physical health in this camp? In the course of the were conditions getting any better from the point of view of food and hygiene?
Yes, the hygiene was very tricky because it was a primitive place down there, and that wasn't brilliant. The food definitely was better because they were right close by, so we were getting through, which was a godsend, because I think I'm right in saying that. It's a long time ago now, but I think I'm right in saying that. Yes, I'm sure. Generally, we used to play sort of bat and ball on the propane of the little squash balls or business for exercise, and it was sunny too, it was warm and it was pleasant on the top. Of course a bit of harong on the best church. Dad was well aware of that.
Did the whole of the camp have to suffer because he got away?
Well, I don't think he did actually, because Muller, when he started, was a bit of a taskmaster. But he even said himself that towards the end, well, he hadn't done too badly. There was sort of little come together on there, but it was a tricky place.
How did you create Ledger for yourselves?
Well, we played cards, a lot of cards. People played bridge for coming out of the year. We had discussion groups, books if they were there, but I can't remember where they were really. And it was such a filthy hole. Really was disgusting. And if I could digress, is it all right to digress? I'm going wrong way ahead now. In 1978, I went to prison, and I was staying with the Polish family. I went down business there. And staying with the Polish family, and I told her I'd be at the fort. And they said, well, I'll take you down there. And they put me down to the fort. And with respect to the guard, who was still there, the sentry box, not the same one, of course. But anyway, he let us in, and I went in, and got halfway down the tunnel that we were in, and they had it in a sort of concentration, and photographs of families. And it was really sickening. I came out. My wife, to this day, always says that she was feeling so much doing that. But it was just something I felt was so near, you know. That was just a personal aspect of it.
How did you cope in the camp with the normal functions of the kitchen, the toileting, and so forth?
Yes, well, there were places where you could get washed up, sort of things. I don't think it was, you wouldn't get a hot shower or anything like that, and then that would be out. And in fact, to give you a point, there was a draw made each night for somebody to take a bowl of latrine up through a skylight, which the Jays didn't seem to know about, and then empty that in a proper place. Then if it came to your turn, you know. But it was cool, it was pretty cool. There was nothing very pleasant about it.
Did it affect the health?
No, I don't think it did really. I think that the activities were beginning to creep in. Things were, there's more to do. Even if we went and played bat and ball, so there was some round us or anything, then you could out there and plan your next escape. And I know that there was a chap in the cluster who wrote a book about prison, and he written that it was, how do you put it now? It was, just at my memory.
Some of your comrades would die during the captivity. And I'm thinking of
No. Yes, well, the only one I know of in the chapel was electrocution in the tunnel. There's another camp further on. I don't really remember anybody. It's just a bad memory, I think.
Was Black Market right in this camp, or has it not been right?
A little easier, I think, there. Because it wasn't really like a camp with barbed wire around them. It was more effective, of course, having a ditch there. But as soon as we had the escapes from there, then they moved us on. We moved down to Beaver, and that's way down the bottom there.
Have you radio in camp? Secret radios?
Not to my knowledge. But you see, now you come back to the fact that there's a full lieutenant, as you may have got. A full lieutenant. I had not got the year of the people who would decide whether they had one or not. I didn't even know they had one in Cadence, apart from the fact that they came around 89 and gave us a bulletin. I didn't know where it was. In fact, the Germans photographed the big house using it after the camp had been released by the Americans. Incredible. Because they didn't know what it was either.
Is there anything else about personal
choosing? Well, I know there's a tremendous amount of aircraft flying in and out. It was for this big attack on massive army going up into the east, into the Russian. That was pretty obvious and pretty staggering. It was a stepping stone, I suppose. And, I must put the name back. The reason we were sent to Poland was because we were ill-treating the British prisoners in this country. And, of course, that was nonsense.
The German prisoners in this country.
Yes. And that's why we were... it was the Germans who were sent to Fort Kingston in Canada who caused the trouble. That was where it actually stemmed from. That's why they gave us a dose of poison.
But if they thought the Germans were being ill-treated because they'd been sent over to the American continent.
Well, it could be. I don't know what the reason was, but they definitely said it was Fort Kingston, Ontario, where the German prisoners were being ill-treated. I rather doubt, but still. They had first class travel on here.
So in July of 1941, you moved from Poznan, and that was the journey in which you were telling me you tried to escape.
Yeah.
Can you describe that to me now?
Tremendous excitement. Tremendous comradeship. We must have been bad. But we were lying on the track, and the Germans opened up everything in the book at us. We had to dive down into a cornfield and get out of the road, and then they came around the corner. It had to be with the right distance. If we were far the way that they could take the potholes, if we were too near, then we might let off one mistake. So anyway, we were picked up.
You told me that you marched to the station, of course, and then picked up the workmen's tools at the hospital.
Yeah.
And when you went abroad, how did you use the tools?
It was a hack. It was a rubber floor. But we expected it to go in. We thought that it would be a wood floor. It was a rubbery floor on top. And it took a whole lot of it. We had a sentry in the carriage. The legs kept them occupied down the other end. So you'd be interested if I'm just going to this bit. Going back to the business of the escape committee. After we'd been picked up and taken back to the train, which was standing puffing away from the wall, I learned that the people who were going to do the same job were going to wait till night time and do it in the dark. And they were furious that we'd done it. Because they said there was no liaison for one hand knowing what that was doing. And they were really annoyed, but of course, they did say at the end of the comment, it was a very different under a 10-way scale. It wasn't very much, as this chap asked me, but the chaps on the left, we've got this kind of form together and two others, all forms on the end. Went into a house on the village at the ground of the top. And Jay was thinking, God, it's one. Still listening down there, is it? Right to the mouthpiece. Walked off down there at the end of it. And we just stood there, it was dark, and the right of the end. And Jack Hale said, who's going there? And I said, no, it's better. Said it wasn't better than anything. He sat down. He sat down, and then they all sat down. They didn't take any notice. About an hour later, when we were running along, they came and showed us photographs of their family. Amazing sort of makeup.
So and you went further first when you
go
to the
event? Yes, you go into a different bracket. Do you want to go that far? So, having experienced life and the problems of being new prisoners and the Germans handling us in a proper manner, or an improper manner, as the case may be, and then moving off in trains going north to Poland and then south to West Germany, southwest Germany, we were learning a lot in the way of concealment and general ability to take care of ourselves if we were lucky enough to get away from the troops' guardians. But the move amazed us because we were shunted from one end of Europe to the other. When we got to the far end, a whole new chapter of prisoner of war life started. And this is the experience I mentioned at the very early stages where you were a bit annoyed after having all these experiences in so many camps. But there was some criticism, although it's not bad to be criticized, but there was some criticism that we had done the wrong thing to get 65 chaps out. But they didn't mention that when those 65 men went out, a complete German division of troops had turned out. Hitler and the Landwaffe, and army posts were alerted by Germany, which was a big value for causing trouble. And we found that out, but that comes later.
There would be men who would be becoming known for their particular skills, concealment and things like that.
Yeah. There were one or two. I was getting my timing a bit right here now. There was a man called Smith, who was a spy, a genuine spy. Brilliant chap. I think he was an Arab, actually, but he called himself Smith. And he could get anything, he got a wire or something in the house. And did, in fact, further along the line. This is the early stages, you know. There was a man called Baron de Lemacon, who was a delightful chap, actually. And I had quite a lot to do with him, but of course that's the coldest. And he was a friend. He was very knowledgeable. He got six men out of the Gestapo headquarters in Paris. How they did it, he never let on, but amazing. But there were one or two people like that who had the ability and the language to cope.